No one but Jesus could tell her to stop crying. Why? It is anticipation that my revelation will change your situation and bring you to jubilation.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Fort Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today as we continue a message called It's Never Too Late. And Pastor, we began to talk about the fact that because God is sovereign, it is never too late. We can always have hope. But there seem to be times in life, at least for some people, where God allows them to go on in a difficult season for an extremely long period of time, to the point where, you know, it can be tempting to think that God is never going to allow the suffering to be eased the side of eternity. You know, maybe this is just His will for me is to live in this difficult spot for the rest of my life. Is that a biblical point to come to accept that?
It's a possibility. And, you know, I like to share with people, you know, and I ask the question, okay, you've been waiting for this healing. You've been waiting for this spouse. You've been waiting for this job. But look in Scripture and you'll see that individuals had to wait. Abraham had to wait 30 years for the promised child.
Yeah.
Moses had to wait 40 years to be the deliverer of the people of God. And what did they do in the meantime? You wouldn't believe it. Part of our devotions, we're going through and reading Scripture. And what I do sometimes is it hits me and impacts me. So I was sharing with my wife. I said, wow, Psalm 16, I believe it was, where David said, how long, Lord, how long? And I sat there in our devotion. I said, wait a minute, give me a minute, baby. I got to write this down because it gives us six things to do while we're waiting on God. Then the first point was when he says, how long? I wrote down, the first thing you have to do is acknowledge your frustration. Then he says, he cries out. And he says, Lord, you know, I've been crying to you. And I wrote down point number one, acknowledge your frustration. Point number two, cry out in desperation. You know, I went through the whole text and, you know, six things you need to do while you're waiting on God. And it sure fits what you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, that somebody may want to spend some time looking at that passage after we wrap up our time together
today. And it's Psalm 13.
Psalm 13,
1 through 6.
Put a bookmark there because we're going to Luke chapter 7 right now as we continue a message called It's Never Too Late. Here is Pastor Ford.
There's sometimes I'm blessed more when I didn't ask and didn't have faith than when I was when I had faith and I asked. You know what that is? Now under Him, who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think, according to His mighty working power in us. How then shall He not freely give us all things who have given unto us His Son? Now, He's moved with compassion. His heart went out. Man, you can write them down if you're writing, but don't turn. Matthew talks about it more than anybody else, at least one more than most of them. Matthew 9:36, He was moved with compassion. Matthew 15:32, He was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14, He was moved with compassion. Matthew 20:34, He was moved with compassion. In other words, Jesus did things for two reasons. Number one, because people have faith to believe. Number two, because He just had compassion. Now, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. It's supposed to be a true story. And little Ray Ray in kindergarten. I just give him little Ray Ray. I just call everybody little Ray Ray instead of little Johnny. Little Ray Ray. But this is supposed to be true. A kindergarten teacher said, she was teaching them about kindness and compassion. And she said, I want all of you to go out and I want you to do something kind and compassionate for somebody and then come back. And whoever does, in my estimation, what's the most compassionate thing, I'm going to give a prize. Well, the prize went to this little boy who said this. He said, well, we live across the street from Mr. Smith. And Mr. Smith's wife died last week. And they have been married for over 50 years, my mother said. And I can't imagine how long 50 years is. I'm only five, but I imagine it's a long time. And every day after, he'd come and sit on the porch. And I saw him, and I said to my mommy, "Mommy, can you take me across the street so I could talk to Mr. Smith?" So my mommy took me across the street. And then what did you do? I went up on his porch. I sat beside him on the swing. I looked up in his face, and I put my little hand in his big hand, and I cried with him. I said, "Wow, that's compassion." That phrase, when it says right before Jesus wept and all that, guess what? I was looking at it in the Greek, and it confounded me because it says the picture, the word picture is a snorting horse. A snorting horse. So I consulted my good friend Google, and I said, "Google, what's so significant about a horse snorting?" And this is what Google told me, and you know Google don't lie. Google says that a snort of a horse is an involuntary reaction to something it's experiencing emotionally. Jesus moved with compassion. He was so emotional over what was happening, it was an involuntary reaction. It wasn't no alligator tears. It was really sorrowful. When he went and looked over the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says he sobbed. You know, that's when you heave, when you cry. Jesus is compassionate. You know, his compassion for her. Notice his command to her, "Weep not." Now, I really have to put the Greek in this. Why? Because he doesn't say, "Weep not." It's a participle, which means this. Jesus says to her, "Do not continue your crying." Now, I'll talk about that just for a brief minute. Wait a minute, Jesus, that's nonsense. Well, it would be if anybody else said it. But not because Jesus said it. Because everything that Jesus says the people were hurting sound like nonsense. Paralyzed man, get up and pick up your pallet. That's nonsense. But the only way to make sense out of nonsense is to know that Jesus said it. Yeah, he said, pick up your pallet. He said to a blind man, see. Blind men don't see, so it doesn't make sense. But it does when Jesus says it. And you go through all of the commands that he gave people who were infirmed, who were lame. And notice in this case, everybody had to do something. Pick up your pallet, go to the water, put the mud on your eye. But dead people can't respond, so he just says, get up. Yeah, don't cry. Why don't cry? Because I do funerals and homegoing services all the time, and I hear people tell people don't cry, and I want to tell them so bad, and I wait till the people leave. I say, cry. You want to cry? Cry. They tell them you don't cry, and your mama has died, and when their dog died, they cried all week. Cry. Is something lost when you know where it is? No. Now quit saying that. Because whenever you put the purple and black out for me, if I'm here then, because I may be retired before then, and I'm in that casket, you need to understand something. This is the shell. It's like a peanut. And when you come in, you think, there's the shell. The nut has gone home to God. Because you know what? Mine is not going to say the homegoing service of the Reverend Dr. Magnificent, beautiful hunk of chocolate chip, James Ford Jr. It's not going to say all that. It's not going to say homegoing. It's going to say gone home service. That's what mine's going to say. Yeah, because I ain't in there. I'll be up there. So I'm not going home. I already am home. Y'all just came to pay tribute to the shell. That's it. And so what's going on here? No one but Jesus could tell her to stop crying. Why? Because it is anticipation that my revelation will change your situation and bring you to jubilation. So it is anticipation. He's saying in essence, I'm here, baby. I'm here, baby girl. Don't worry about it. I got you covered. Oh, yeah, even in this. Oh, yeah, I got you covered. So you can go ahead and stop crying now. In other words, focus not on the casket, but on the Christ. Yeah. Don't focus on that shell. Focus on the Savior. Mm-hmm. See, because if you turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth, I'm preaching from me. I'm just having a ball. Y'all go ahead, dismiss, go home. I'm going to finish this. If you turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hey, you remember what happened? It was Robert Redford, I believe, or one of them. And he went into an ice cream store to get an ice cream. Then a lady came in, and she's looking at him. She's trying to be cool and nonchalant. It's Robert Redford. And, I have two scoops. And he says, hello, ma'am. How are you? And she says, I'm fine. How are you? And so she gets the ice cream, and she doesn't ask for an autograph or nothing, because she all cool, nonchalant. She goes out. This is a true story. She goes out. She comes back in. You didn't give me my ice cream. He said, yes, I did. She said, you see ice cream? Where is it if you gave it to me? And Robert Redford said, ma'am, you put it in your purse. Yeah, she's trying to act all cool, calm, and collected. She knows she was visibly shaken, put her ice cream in her. Have you ever come and been confronted with the presence of Jesus Christ? Is his presence enough? When he shows up, does all the attention and the focus on him? Do you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the suffering of the cross, that he might bring many sons and daughters to glory? In other words, can you act like I will do it even when I haven't done it yet?
We're going to continue this in just a moment. You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called It's Never Too Late. And that brings up a thought here. Maybe you missed parts one and two of this broadcast. Well, it's not too late to catch up. If you ever miss part of a program, come to the website. Listen online. You can stream a program or download an MP3 for free. Just stop by treasuretruthradio.org. That's treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Let me give you these last two. Let me get you on out of here. So notice the power. And he came and touched the beer. Now that's not Budweiser. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and delivered him unto his mother. Wow. Wait. What's going on here? He touched the beer. Now this is going to go over your head because many of us are not Bible students. But Numbers chapter 19, verses 6 through 11 tell us this, that if you touch a dead person or something a dead person had on or something a dead person in, you are unclean. See, I told you, right over your head. See, we look at things anachronistically. Say, what does that mean? According to the lens of our own culture. We have to look at it according to the lens of their culture. Here's what all the Jewish people said when he touched that beer. He's defiled. We can't touch him. He's defiled. Now, why does Luke tell us he touched the beer? Why didn't he just say he healed the man? He wants us to know something, that the purity of Jesus is greater than any impurity. You know where we say one bad apple spoils the bunch? Uh-uh. Jesus is the good apple that makes the bad apples good. Yeah, here's what he's saying. My righteousness is greater than any curse anybody. I override your sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. When you are down in the dregs of sin and you think you can't go down further, underneath are the everlasting arms. Jesus wants us to know that's a great picture of what happened to us in salvation. It's the picture of David and Jonathan. David, a shepherd, a pauper. Jonathan, a king's kid. And so they come together because they both love Yahweh. Yeah, that's why their souls were knit together, because they love Yahweh. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what did Jonathan say? Jonathan said, let's go up on the hill. There's about 100 Philistines up there. Let's go take them out. His armor bearer said, we don't even have a sword. He said, they got swords. So let's climb up the mountain, take one of their swords and kill them all. That's the kind of faith that conquers things for God, by the way. And so what's going on here? Jonathan does something that helps David out. Here it is. Three things. The first thing he does is he gives him his clothing. He's a pauper, but he's clothed now not as a shepherd, but as a king's kid, which gives him access to the palace. Then he gives him his sword. Now he's able to protect himself, and he has the king's kid's sword to protect himself. And then he gives him his ring. Now he has the same authority that Jonathan has. Now David has it. Isn't that a picture of what happened to us? When we got saved, we were covered in the righteousness of Christ. We were like the rebellious boy that came out of the pigsty. His father put the clothes on him without him having to take a bath. And so it represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That when God looks at me, he does not see my sin, he sees his son. Then he gave me the sword of the spirit, the word of God, the Makaira. And then he gave me authority. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and I give it to you. Greater things than I did, than you can do. All of that because he touched the beer. And here's what I want you to see. They didn't keep going. It said they stood still. You know what it reminds me of? Be still and know that I am God. They just stood still, man. Man, when are you going to get quiet before the Lord? Let me move on, because I said I want to get you out of here. Now watch this. He gave a word. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. It's a good thing he said young man. You don't want to know why? Because if he hadn't said young man, everything that was dead would have got up at the power of his word. And he sat up and he began speaking. Now, the Bible doesn't say who he's speaking to, but the Bible does give us an implication. What's that? He's speaking to Jesus. How do you know that? Because it says, then Jesus took him to his mother. So he sits up in the bier and he says, man, what happened? I'm alive. And he sees Jesus, and Jesus got his hands on him, and he felt that power. And he said, wow, thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's what I think he said. I mean, I can't prove it, but what do you do whenever God puts food on your table? Don't you say, thank you, Jesus? What do you do when he puts clothes on your back? Don't you say, thank you, Jesus? What do you do when he brings your children back from the far country? Don't you say, thank you, Jesus? What do you do when you don't have a job and he gets you a job? Don't you say, thank you, Jesus? Yeah. And that's what we need to do. We need to thank him in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Give him a praise break. Come on, take a 3 seconds. Give me some praise. Just tell him thank you. Just tell him you love him. Come on, open your mouth. Get this. And he brought the boy. So that means he gets him out of the beer, and then he escorts him to his mother. You lost something because I wasn't here, but now I'm here. And when you have me in your life, I'll restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. That I'm bringing back to you that which you thought was totally lost to you forever. He can do it. He can bring it back. Oh yeah. He can resurrect a dead marriage. Just give him all the pieces. Yeah, he can resurrect a dead relationship. Yes, he did. And he gave it back to the one that had lost it. Here's the last one, and I'm done. And you guys are, you know, you say, when are you really done? Here it is. Here's the last one. The praise for Jesus. Can I bottom line it? Say bottom line, Pastor Ford. Everything he does is for his praise. Let me read it to you, at least what they say. Here's what they say. All the people are going crazy. Listen to what they said. And there was a great fear on all, and they glorified God. So what happened? There was adoration, and there was reverential awe. They are awed by Jesus. And they're like, wow, wow, you see what's going on here. It's like that, it's like Burlington commercial. I remember it. It's the old one. Remember this one? There was a woman who had a coat, and she had one coat. And her friend said, oh, where'd you get the coat? And how much did it cost? And she told her. And she said, oh, we went to Burlington. And then she shows her husband, he's got a coat. Then her daughter, she's got a coat. Then the son, he's got a coat. She's got a coat, jeans, and a blouse. All of that for the same price that the woman paid for the one coat. And she said, see, at Burlington, you get all this. You paid all of that for that one thing, and we got all of this at Burlington. And then the commercial said, Burlington, brag about it. And that's what I'm telling you. Jesus has done some things for you. You ought to brag about it. He healed my body. Brag about it. He saved my soul. Brag about it. He did all those things that he did. Brag about it. Brag about it. Brag about it. Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. He saved me. Put my marriage back together. Taught me how to raise my children. He did it. He did it. He did it. I want to brag about it. Boy, I tell you. I tell you. You say, Pastor Ford, come on now. Come on, Pastor Ford. How in the world are we ever going to do this thing? Well, we do it because Jesus did it. He did it for us already. And we can be assured that everything is going to work the way he said it worked. Why do you say that? It's never too late. Why is it never too late? Let me tell you why. Because of the immutability of God's promise, it assures it to us. The sovereignty of God's grace provides it for us. The mystery of God's will secures it for us. The majesty of God's power provides it for us. The supremacy of God's might maintains it for us. The tranquility of God's peace pervades it for us. The infallibility of God's word confirms it for us. The sufficiency of God's resources sustain it for us. The impregnability of God's honor upholds it for us. And the authority of God's throne administers it for us. It's never too late. Whenever you're thinking, Lazarus is dead and it's been 4 days, now he's stinking. Now Jesus will say, Lazarus, come forth. You want to know why? Because it's never too late. The old preacher would say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time.
I love that thought. You know, it seems as if that is so often the way that God allows life to work out, right? He's rarely early, never too late. That's the title of our message, It's Never Too Late, and it's a three-part series. If you missed parts one and two, or you just want to listen to today, part three, again, come to our website and listen online. Stop by treasuredtruthradio.org. You can also listen if you have the Moody Radio app. It's a great way to listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. And we'll link you to the app when you come to our website. Look for the Stay Connected bar, or go to your favorite app store like the iOS App Store or Google Play and simply search for Moody Radio. Well, one of the great things about whether you listen online or through a mobile device or maybe, you know, by podcasting, God can use the proclamation of his word to encourage you right where you are. We heard from a listener in Tennessee recently who says, I love hearing Pastor Ford. So thank you for the strength to help me through each and every day. You know, Brad, it's your notes, your encouragement that really encourages us to be able to continue bringing you Pastor Ford's teaching each day. But there's one other part to that, and that's the financial component. Because while we get to listen to the radio for free, there is a cost to bringing you Treasure Truth each and every day. And that is things like production cost and airtime and the things that happen behind the scenes, like maintaining the website and other things like that, that we're able to do each and every day because of your generosity. So to those of you who have given, thank you. If you've not given before, if you'd like to give again, come to our website, treasuredtruthradio.org, and click on the donate button. You can give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift at treasuredtruthradio.org and click on donate. Thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.